looks at you and goes, it's all real.
Yeah.
God's real. Satan's real. Or when someone says, the voices are gone.
Hallelujah.
They're gone. They've been there my whole life and they're gone. My mind is quiet.
Hallelujah.
Or when you get a call 2 weeks later, hey, the cancer's gone.
Thank you, Father.
You just can't imagine the you know, just the honor it is to be a part of that. You know, Jesus gets the glory. And it's just good to be on the winning team is what I say. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Free Indeed podcast brought to you by Revelation 12, 17 Ministries. My name is Brother Dave, and with me is Brother Rand, and we'd like to welcome you to this podcast. The goal of this podcast is to ultimately interview deliverance ministers, deliverance workers, people who have deliverance, you know, operations and ministries going, and people that want to come on and share their testimony of deliverance, because we've seen many people get healed just from people's testimonies. And, you know, you never know what your testimony could do. Ah, we're recording. Okay. So I can edit this out. All right. So, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Free Indeed podcast, brought to you by Revelation 12, 17 Ministries. My name is Brother Dave, and with me is Brother Rand, and we'd like to welcome you to this podcast. The goal of this podcast is to ultimately interview deliverance ministers, deliverance workers, people who have deliverance, you know, operations and ministries going, and people that want to come on and share their testimony of deliverance, because we've seen many people get healed just from people's testimonies. And, you know, you never know what your testimony could do. I want to introduce myself first. My name is Brother Dave. I am a born-again believer. I believe in Jesus, Yeshua, all of them, all of them names. I believe in him. I believe in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he called me to deliverance ministry. You know, I didn't want to do it, but he called me to it. I've been personally praying for people, casting demons out of people since about 2018. And it's only by the grace of God that I've been able to do this, because, you know, man, when he, you know, he doesn't, I love those church sayings, Brother Rand, but he doesn't equip the, he doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called, you know. And, you know, man, I'm not the guy to be doing that. You know, I've told you in confidence, you know, I'm a troubleshooter. I'm a tinkerer. You give me your problem, I'll fix it. And I think that might be why he had me down that path. But, I help run Revelation 12, 17, ministries. We are a full gospel deliverance and teaching ministry. And Brother Randy here, he is a deliverance minister. Been doing it quite a bit longer than I have. And he has a ministry called Christ Outreach Oklahoma. And he travels and goes to different places. But go ahead and introduce yourself, Brother Rand.
Well, I'm my full name is King Rand Ritchie. And some call me King and some call me Rand. And I've been called Randy most of my life. And I'll answer to any of them. I'm just delighted to be here. The Lord has been so good to us. Callie and I, my wife, Callie Ritchie, and I, we serve with Christ Outreach Oklahoma, which is the ministry the Lord gave us, and we're honored to help people. The whole goal is to help people, to serve our King, number one, to bring him all the glory, honor, and praise that he deserves, and to see the captive set free. The title of this podcast being Free Indeed. Free Indeed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. When it comes to deliverance, I can say beyond a shadow of doubt that from the depths of the mess that I walked in, if the Lord, our good Lord, had not steered me into the hands of deliverance ministers, other people that cared about other people, I wouldn't be here today. I couldn't have made it. I needed to have things broke off my life. I needed to have demons cast out of me. And the Lord, the faithful one, ordered my footsteps, put me in a place to start getting my own deliverance. And then, you know, in all honesty, he told me, I'm a reader, been reading since I was 4 years old. I thirst and always have looked for knowledge. And read the encyclopedia before we had an internet. so because I'm a reader, there I would read, and when I got born again, I began to search. When I went through deliverance, after the first deliverance, I was looking at two books, one on a subject on more of the spirit-filled lifestyle, and the other one about warfare, really. And the Lord told me, you have to know your enemy. And I knew from that moment that I needed to learn how the enemy works. Listen, Jesus, Yeshua, Yahusha, whatever you want to call him, by any name, by any culture, he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He already knows everything, and he's within us, but we learn, and we learn from other people how to destroy the works of darkness and how to help people get free. So
just in the short time I've known you, you've taught me quite a bit.
Well, hallelujah. You know, and vice versa, Dave. You know, iron sharpens iron. I always say, listen, we did a deliverance. We do them every Saturday, every Saturday we're doing a Zoom deliverance. And so the very first one we did was on unforgiveness, and the last one we did was on rejection. And see, but when a person's heart is healed, see, if we're right, then even though you might have a student, you might have a teacher, the student could become the teacher in any moment, and the teacher, the student, and nobody's worried about it.
Right. Well, you know, cause it's the Holy Spirit, right? If the Holy Spirit gives someone a word of knowledge, you know, there could be something buried from when you were 10 years old that's been hidden. And the Holy Spirit gives a baby believer a word, says, hey, the Lord told me I need to tell you this. And you go, oh man, I forgot about that. And then, you know, so it's only pride and arrogance that exalts itself over, you know, correction. And, you know,
go ahead, bro.
What I was going to say, you know, I say it every so often, and it really hits me. I've seen more miracles at this point in my life, and I've only been praying deliverance since, like I said, about 2018. Then I could write down, like I couldn't write them down. I've forgotten about them. You know what I'm saying? But one that always sticks with me, one that is when someone looks at you and goes, it's all real.
Yeah.
God's real. Satan's real. Or when someone says, the voices are gone.
Hallelujah.
They're gone. They've been there my whole life and they're gone. My mind is quiet. Or when you get a call 2 weeks later, hey, the cancer's gone.
Thank you, Father.
You just can't imagine the you know, just the honor it is to be a part of that. You know, Jesus gets the glory, and it's just good to be on the winning team, is what I say.
Hey, listen, when you come from the depths of the darkness, that I listen, the dope smoking, the coke snorting, the womanizing, that whole mess and a trail of mess behind. Hey, listen, I was even a functioner in all of my mess. I could work and even as a successful businessman, but it was a mess. And I'll never forget when the Lord allowed me to be a doorman at one of his churches one time. see, and I was just delighted to be that doorman. I still like about it. Still like being a doorman. Hallelujah. You get to open the door. You can pray for people. You can shake their head. You can hug their neck. See, because you got to love people. And so, but to understand from the depths of where you come from, I always tell people, listen, this ministry, the ministry of deliverance, needs to have a foundation of love, love of God, love of your neighbor, love of self, and it has to be anchored in love. But also those that are forgiven much, love much. That's the word of God, and it's the truth. And so to have the honor to be able to help people is incredible. And Lord, we're still learning. And thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you're always in the teaching business. And we're always willing to learn something new. And behold the goodness of God here in the land.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Randy. It is such, you know, I've been floored in some situations where deliverance has happened. The Holy Spirit has moved so strongly that, you know, it's hard to sleep after. You're just like, golly, what was that? You know, it's so, you know, powerful, you know, and then also just testifying to how wonderful the Holy Spirit is to give us the strength to forgive that, you know, family member that assaulted us in some way, or the person that killed our relative or whatever. It just, it's very, man, when you get to see it live, like you get to do in deliverance, it's just, you're just like, wow, you know, by the flesh, you can't forgive these people.
No, but by
the, you know, and part of the goal, you know, part of the goal of this podcast ultimately is to demystify deliverance for the listener. I have this view. That through the movies, the TVs, the Catholic exorcist movies and stuff, they've mystified it and made it way scarier and way bigger than it is. I have this view as a believer in Christ, right? That I'm like this elephant trouncing through the jungle, and everything should be mad at, or scared of me. I have got no reason to be scared. I'm an elephant. And, you know, the only thing I need to fear is my creator. All right. So, have you seen deliverance be mystified? And I see like some churches, they'll ordain a deliverance minister, and they'll do all the deliverances over in the corner, and then they shuffle it off. And instead of people getting to see the manifest power of the name of Jesus in their congregation, even in the middle of a service, it gets shuffled off into the side or something.
Well, I think, we've had many a discussion about many a thing, and ultimately,
like a church service is more important than, you know, a manifesting church member getting delivered.
So the problem is 2,000 years of tradition. I mean, from the very beginning, Paul was combating tradition. Paul was combating the even wolves coming in as sheep, people that ravish the sheep. Many of God's people that are ignorant, and ignorant not being a slander to anybody, but many of them are blind to the truth. So the enemy has been able to put in programs, ways of doing things, and even to, as you say, to mystify it. It should be common, honestly, and it should be common, and not that the Holy Spirit's common, and not that it's not indeed a miracle, but it should be something that we're seeing all the time.
Well, the reason why the devil works so hard to mystify it is, and it not to be common, in my opinion, is because the devil wants to be as comfortable as possible in the congregation. Yeah, sure he does. And if devils are being confronted and cast out, and your pastor's getting constantly, if you're a pastor, you need to go through regular deliverance.
Yeah.
Look me in my eyeballs right now.
Hallelujah.
Or listen to me in your earballs if you're listening to this. You need regular deliverance. Do not get too high and mighty.
Or complacent.
Because, you know, one of my things is I don't want to submit to a pastor that won't go through deliverance. Why would I? The devil could be talking out of his mouth half the time.
Again, we never want to be in a place where we're slamming God's people. But you know when they say you give credit where credit's due, the enemy has done a good job for his kingdom to throttle down or even keep hidden. I mean, in all honesty, and I you know, there's always been remnants. There's always been places. There's always been somebody throughout history from the time of the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua and the outpouring of the Spirit. There's always been somebody. It's just been few. And really, until, I mean, I can remember, I got born again the last part of 99 in 2000, in the early part of 2000. And it's funny because people will say, well, you don't know when you were born again, the exact date. And I go, man, listen, I was living in the cloud. Back then, that cloud wasn't the one you store memory in. It was where it was scrambled. And so somewhere in that time frame, I got drawn to the Lord. I gave a full commitment to the Lord, and it began in October of 99. And I went through the first deliverance in 2001. And then in about 2003, I went through the first, I would just call it a more intense deliverance. The first ones were forgiving people, breaking the power of rejection, breaking ungodly soul ties. We'll teach on all these things at some point, but then breaking generational curses. And we went through all that in general terms, and it helped my life. It really did. From that, I can tell you, and this is my viewpoint, I thank God for anybody anywhere doing any kind of deliverance that's actually helping God's people in any way, shape, and form, whether it's a thimble full, a barrel full, or a river flowing. So I thank God for anybody that's resisting the enemy. But then a few years later, we went through a deliverance where they really kicked the demons out. They kicked them out. It was glorious. And
yeah, there's a big difference between, you know, resisting them and getting them out.
Yeah, and they kicked him out, and I'll never forget the little old man. You know, he's an old man, about my age now, but I was 40 and he was 60 then, you know. So this old man, he was praying for me, and I remember him stopping and putting his hands on his head, and he said, hold on a minute, son, the Lord is dealing with me. And when I saw that, I knew that's the way it should be. He wasn't concerned about him being the one. He was, and Lord dealt with him, so he got some more deliverance. Glory to God. So we got that deliverance, but that's what led us, books that we bought. And believe it or not, it was in an Assembly of God church in Lufkin, Texas. And we went into their bookstore. And we bought books there, and one of them was called Breaking the Curses of Deuteronomy 27 and 28, which they had taken us through, and it had Lake Hamilton Bible Camp stamp on the inside of that book. And
wow.
That's how we found Lake. And listen, you weren't going to find it on the internet then. You
no.
couldn't find 10,000 deliverance ministers. You could not find all that then. I picked up that phone, and I called Lake Hamilton. Right. And that's how we learned about that. And that's where we began to go up there in 2004, my wife and I. And to this day, we go. And hallelujah. So the Lord orders our footsteps. We grow in grace. We should be getting freer and freer all the days of our lives until the day of redemption.
Yeah, and it is a process. One of the illustrations I give people is that deliverance is like peeling an onion.
Yeah.
And you know that first that scabbed over outer exterior is a tough one to get off.
Yeah.
you got to pull it off and then it'll break apart and you got to keep going. But then once you get a few layers off, they just start flying off. It's, man, the walk that it is, that's what people, you know, some, you know, there's people that teach one-time deliverance, you know, oh, all your demons are gone. You're good. Just walk it out, brother. You're good. That's not it. You know, I've seen people delivered of hundreds at a time, but to be completely demon free would mean that you have zero sin and you've broken every curse and everything you've ever done. I mean, it's just the level to,
I guess it's theoretically possible, but I think the great danger is the minute you think you are, you probably got to kick pride out.
Right. Yeah. You've got, it's super hard. So, you know, one of the other goals of this podcast is to bring on deliverance ministers all around the country and eventually probably the world, that will come on, share their testimonies. And we can, you know, inside ball game, talk, maybe, you know, what I want this to be is essentially a resource for other deliverance workers to be able to get in contact with people that you could ring up and say, hey, what's your thoughts on this, that, and the other, you know? And then if you've been through a severe deliverance, we want you to come on the podcast. We want you to, even if it was, you know, you had cancer and it's gone, or you had chronic headaches and it's gone, we don't care. We want you to come on. We want to talk to you. We want to hear your testimony because, man, what does the word say? The testimony has so much power, the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of their word. So
the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Right. So, you know, you, like I said, man, earlier, I've been on deliverance calls. I've been in sessions where someone gets delivered of something and someone there just watching gets delivered as well, because mentally they're coming into agreement with the truth and the Holy Spirit's moving. And it's just, hey, while I'm here.
And you made that in that statement right there, Dave, the thing is about deliverance. So in the demystifying, you know what? In a simple nutshell, deliverance is, first of all, just agreeing with God. You come into agreement that what he says is what is, and that what he says is right, and what he says is wrong, and anything that we do contrary to what he says to do is sin. It's that simple.
And it really does break down to that level.
That's it. And then you confess that sin. You confess it to Jesus. You confess it to our God. And then you come out of agreement with it. And within that confession, you're confessing it. But before you're ever confessing it, you should have had a metanoia, which means a turning. A metanoia, the Greek word for repent, it means like to turn or to go that, quit going that way and let's go this way. I don't agree with the sin anymore. I agree with righteousness. And it's,
well, and we're going to get in depth in the second episode. We just kind of wanted to do a primer on this one. But on the second episode, we're going to try to get in really in depth on demystifying deliverance. What is deliverance? How to find a deliverance worker, all of that. So we're not going to leave you. We're not going to leave you like in the wind here, okay? You know, the other goal that I have with this podcast, and I know that Brother Rand has the same goal here, is that we don't want you to feel like you're alone in this world.
That's right.
Because this path of deliverance can be very isolating, and you can feel crazy almost. Sometimes when you're in here seeing demons in people, you're dealing with demons all week or month, or casting out devils out of people. And one of the things I want to bring on some people to teach how to start doing deliverance in your church, that's a church that is either resistant or hesitant or questioning. And you know, I just want to let you know you're not alone in this walk, and you've, you know, the Lord is raising up people to share this truth. There's many truths in the Bible, and this is just one of them. And this is the focus of this podcast. I mean, we could be talking about every other little thing in the Bible, eschatology, you know, theology, Christology, all these different things, right? But this is about deliverance. This is about the inner healing, casting out of devils, discipleship, and walking in freedom. That is deliverance in a nutshell. If you had to nutshell deliverance, that's what it is. And what is missing from most of the churches is this. The devil is too comfortable. The devil's in there enjoying the service most of the time because nothing's happening.
A saying that says there ain't but one or two beings going to be at peace. So you're either going to be at peace and the enemy not at peace, or the enemy's going to be at peace and you have no peace.
Right.
Just like that. And this war is a war to the end. The Lord, our father with Adam and Eve told them that the seed of the woman was going to have enmity with the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the serpent enmity with the seed of the woman. That means there's a war. And that the seed of the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, and the seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. So ultimately, the Lord's talking about Yeshua going to crush the head of the seed of the serpent. He was crucified, but he crushed the serpent's head. That happened, and now it's ongoing, and it's coming again in the final end here. But in the meantime, if the Lord is the head and we're the body, then the heel's on us. So we're either stomping the enemy or he's biting our heel. One of the two, all the days of our lives.
Amen. Amen. You know, a bully never likes to get fought. No. And if you're not fighting the devil, he's just going to sit there and keep waylaying you. And you can curl up into a ball and hope he goes away, but he's not. But you start firing back. You take out that two-edged sword that's sharper than any sword. The word of God, and you start going against him, he cowers, he runs.
And the thing is about this enemy of ours, he can. The Bible says that we're to submit to God, James 4:7, submit to Yah and resist the devil and he'll flee. So this resistance that we're speaking of, number one, it begins with a heart of obedience. You got to obey. You got to want to obey. If you don't obey, you'll be like the seven sons of Sceva. If you never read that story, they tried to kick demons out of a guy. And the demons said, well, they basically said, Jesus we know and Paul we've heard of, but who are you? And they got whomped. So obedience,
right.
a heart of obedience. Is where
and it does change your whole, it does change your whole walk.
Yeah.
I mean, the minute you step into deliverance and you cast devils out, that verse comes to your mind almost where it says, don't be excited because you can cast devils out of people. Be excited that your name's written in heaven. And you know, man, like there's so many people that are missing out on the blessing of not only knowing that, but seeing people set free. It's just, it's a twisted thing. You know, like this should be commonplace. Like you said earlier, Brother Randy, this should be commonplace. There should be weekly deliverance services or deliverance every service at your church or assembly. You should be able to walk up to your pastor or the elders and say, I'm dealing with this demon. I know it's a demon. Cast it out of me. Literally, this should be the norm.
What I've learned in my own life and for helping other people. And biblically, everywhere Yeshua went, there was encounters. And there would be an encounter, and the encounter would be between Yeshua and the demons in the people. And every single time the demons lost, every single time they came out, people were healed. Glory to God. And that's what should be happening. And so, you know, I believe if we could get to a place where God's people are really engaged in kingdom work, then every single service, I mean, for one, the Spirit needs to lead our services. But then every service you give glory to God, maybe you hear a word. Somebody should bring a song, a hymn, a word. Like, really, if we really started doing things the way we're supposed to. But every time we come together as a body, there should be prayer offered for the people. And if the people come up, in the old days, they called it coming to the altars. But you should have prayer teams and people that are of skill. And when I say skill, the glory goes to God, but there is skill in knowing how to dismantle the enemy. I alluded to that earlier. So if we had teams that come up, I'm telling you right now, somebody comes up to me and says they have a cold, I'm going to ask them, do you need to forgive anybody? Is there any sin in your life? Do we need to repent? Let's break this curse. Now, spirit of infirmity, get out. Because we're going to deal with darkness. We focus and give glory to God. We're not demon-centric. We deal with demons. We are kingdom-minded, kingdom-centric, giving glory to God, looking to honor Him, loving Him, receiving His love and His guidance, and we deal with darkness as it arises.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's a good transition into this right here. If you want to book a deliverance session with me or Brother Randy or both of us, if you're a female, a sister in the faith, we want a witness there. Bring your husband, another sister, or we can both be there as a witness, just to avoid the appearance of evil. And that's ultimately the situation there, is to avoid, because the devil will get in and say, oh, so-and-so does sure spend a lot of time with, you know, women or this person or that person. And, you know, don't even give the devil the opportunity. Yeah. So, but if you're interested in deliverance or you know you need deliverance, and maybe after our second episode, you'll know for sure, reach out. Revelation 12:17, Christ Outreach Oklahoma. Look up those things. We're easy to find. Find a deliverance minister locally if you can. We're going to get into the specifics of who and what to look for to not go for them for deliverance, and then we're going to get into the what to look for to go to them for deliverance.
And these deliverances we're talking about, we do them by Zoom, we do them by Messenger video, we do them by Telegram video. So,
and if you're close enough to me or him in person, we'll meet you somewhere. We'll come to your church, and you can say, "Hey, Pastor, I'm getting prayed for by a minister. Can we borrow the church for an hour?" We'll come. I'll come. I know Randy would come.
Delighted to have him sit in on it.
Right. And you can check it out at Revelation or Rev1217deliverance@gmail.com. You can email that. You can DM any of the pages on any of the socials. You can look up Rand Ritchie on YouTube or any of them. And we're not hard to find.
ChristOutreach.com has a schedule a deliverance appointment on there. And on there it actually has paperwork for you to go through. Not that I even want or we want the paperwork, but it causes you to take a walkthrough to repent and forgive ahead of time. But it's easily explainable. And I want to say this too, upcoming for any that can, is that Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is one of the places that I've been privileged to minister. And every holiday there is a camp. It is a deliverance camp. So the next one coming up begins Thanksgiving evening on a Thursday night and runs through Sunday morning.
And that's in Arkansas, right?
Yes, sir. It's Lake Hamilton. It's just Hot Springs, Arkansas is the location where that's at. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And they have many capable ministers that meet there too. Yes. Which is a good segue into one of the goals we have as well as for this ministry is to eventually start booking conferences for deliverance ministers and helping deliverance ministers around the nation build up a conference that we could come to and, you know, over the weekend or for a few days, whatever, you know, this is all about building the kingdom and this is all about spreading this message. And we are not, it's not the Dave show and the Rand show. We just want to see it. He has the same motives that I do. I want to see Christ magnified and people set free. That is my, that's my secret plan is to see Christ magnified and people set free.
And I want to say even about deliverance, and so the heart is to see people set free. And there's the beauty and the value of personal freedom for husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, children, relationships, all of those things benefit. And that is wonderful in and of itself. But God's people need to be able to get free enough that they can pray for somebody at the Walmart. Or that you're in a restaurant and you ask the waiter or waitress, say, how are you today? How are things going? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Yeshua? Do you know the Lord? Can I tell you about him? Like, how can I pray for you today? Let me just tell you something. How can I pray for you may be the most powerful thing you can do for someone. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to have all sorts of things I would talk, and then I would listen to what they say, but I pretty well now get to, you know, how can I pray for you today? And the answer to that tells me where a person's at, honestly.
Right.
just like that. And so, but then oftentimes people, man, listen, magnificent thing happens. When your heart gets free enough that you care and it's not all about you, and not only that, but you're not burdened by that rejection that causes you to be afraid to be rejected if you talk to somebody.
Right.
I had a friend.
Well, it's just like those. It's just like those lady men. You know, those guys that go out and pick up artists and everything. The worst a woman can say is no. Well, the worst someone can say if you're asking, "Hey, can I pray for you?" is no.
Oh, and the rewards are far greater in this.
Far greater than picking up strange women.
So I had a friend of mine in this, and I told him this one time, and this is the truth. And he's gone on to his rest. And but I told him, I said, if we're doing and living the life that we're called to live, then the honest truth is you should have so many divine appointments, so many opportunities, so many people that you've prayed for that you couldn't even begin to catalog them all. You don't.
Right.
Because it's a part of your lifestyle. It's just living the kingdom life.
You know, it's weird when you get messages from people that you don't know and it's, hey, I think you're supposed to pray for me. And you don't even know who it is.
And that's the thing, Dave, too. I was gonna speak this earlier, and thank you, Lord, for bringing it back. But the truth is, if your heart is to be one that helps people, you don't have to go chase it.
No.
I mean, listen, if one of the first signs that maybe that's you is that strangers tell you stuff that strangers don't tell people.
Golly. Yep.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, starts coming heartfelt hurts, wounds, this, that, the other. You know why they're talking to you? Because God trusts you with them.
Oof.
Because the Lord trusts you with them. So what he trusts you to do is to bring comfort, to pray, to fight their enemy, to believe God, to speak the kingdom.
Right.
He trusts you. And ultimately, my Lord, we're to trust and obey him. But is it amazing that he trusts us with anything?
It's super amazing. Oh, me. Oh. You know, they can be a very frightening and fearful thing. I don't know if you've seen where deliverance even starts getting talked about and someone will just pew, straight to the door and they're out. They won't even say bye to nobody. They got to go. And what it is the demons in them are like, nope, we're out of here.
They don't want it.
Right. And I've seen that. One of the things we do is we pray to bind any running spirits. If I'm going to go to a church or go to an assembly and do deliverance, because literally we've went to go start and people will get up and run. I've been in one where a man literally like full sprints to the exit door and like multiple people have to grab him. Okay.
And that's for God's people. Now, listen, I mean, I'm not one to revile the devil. I don't do that. The smallest imp there is more intelligent than we are. They've been around thousands of years. They chose the wrong. They're on the wrong side. But don't doubt their why. You know, there's a lot of very intelligent people, Bill Gates. There are kind of like those kind of guys, right, that are doing evil. They're very intelligent, but they do evil. So these demons are very intelligent, too. So I don't rile them. I don't revile them. I understand. But I'm also have no doubt. None in my mind or my heart, my soul, that he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world.
So yeah, our confidence amen.
Isn't in us. Our confidence is in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who was and is to come. That he's here and he's coming and he's powerful and he's mighty in battle. So when Dave talked about being the elephant, that's the deal. Why would we be afraid of demons? Now hear me. I've done deliverance and had demons project at me, throwing fear at me to where you felt like you're in a little kid in the dark in the woods.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was just it's a bluff. It's a bluff. They're trying to make you scared. We're not scared of demons. So all that does is tell you there's a spirit of fear you need to kick out. It's all
right.
They're trying to make you afraid. So we have the power. So when you're seeing, listen, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish and are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if you see, just like you said, when they've said, man, go to a service and the people get up and run, it's because they're perishing for lack of knowledge. If you run from a bully, that bully will beat you every time you have an encounter. You have to stand up to them. Now, I'm not an advocate of teaching your kids to go punch people in the nose, but I can remember in the natural, but when it would be, people would tell their children, say, well, that bully he's picked on, you just go hit him first, right in the nose. Well, that's a good policy for the devil. Go hit him first.
Yeah, you know, I tell people that contact me for deliverance, I say, well, are you mad at the devil or is he your best friend? Because, listen, you know, we as ministers, we can't cast out your best friend. Mm-mm. That ain't how it works. No. No. We don't have the Holy Spirit without measure. All right? We can't walk up and say, hey, go, you know, go fly a kite. Go get in them pigs. If they have legal rights and access to you, there's nothing we can do about it.
And even the thing about Yeshua, about Jesus, is that people make all sorts of great assumptions. But he knew all things. So if he cast demons out of somebody, he knew that the heart of that person wanted to get in agreement with him. We may not know that.
Right.
So we have to have your words. And listen, one thing that we've learned over the years is that they always come out if the person doesn't want them.
Yep. Oh. If they're willing to repent biblically oh, repent.
God. Amen.
And resist that sin, those demons, they don't have a shot. And they don't. And when something won't leave or won't manifest or whatever, it's because that person's not ready for it to come out. And I've seen that. You've seen that. It just is what it is. It's unfortunate, but like I said, you can't cast out someone's best friend. And some of these are protectors. You know, this thing takes over when I feel afraid, and it protects me. People have told me these things. Okay. And you know, if you're afraid of that protector being gone, we're not casting it out. It's a demon.
So oftentimes those protectors come subconsciously when you're a child.
Yep.
And you were rejected, you were hurt, you were wounded. So some protectors are lash outers, heavy temper, going to explode at people. Some protectors are isolators. You go hide. You stay away from people. Some protectors are the ones that take you into a fantasy realm because you don't like the life that you're living. And so they come in various functions. But even for myself, one of the things I do with people quite often, if not every time, is have them renounce any protectors that are not from God. And that may be something, you know, we're talking about it. You know, we kind of had a talk about our footsteps being ordained by the Lord. So if this part of the conversation has come up, somebody's going to hear this later. Maybe you're the person for yourself before you ever get prayed for by anybody else. Maybe you need to ask the Lord, what am I using for protection? I don't want Lord. I only want Holy Spirit to protect me. Hallelujah.
These alter egos and these protectors, they're spiritually there. This is how a lot of warriors got their spiritual strengths. They would invite demons in to take over them. And, you know, it's not really anything new or different. There's nothing new under the sun, you know. That's just.
Mike Tyson just had a fight, right?
Right.
And I didn't watch it. I wouldn't have. But the man's 50-something years old. And but see, back in the days when he was like Mike Tyson, he was a wrecking machine. But he was furious in the ring. He had a spirit. And the thing was, he couldn't turn it off outside the ring.
Yeah, and he even has said, you know, when he got in the ring, something would take over him, and he wouldn't get basically back control of his mind and his body until hours after the fight.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, people look at that Mike Tyson, and they don't realize that's a demonically powered person in the ring until he is set free by Jesus. And, you know, hey, I believe Mike Tyson can be saved. Anybody can be, right?
Hallelujah.
So we do a weekly Bible study on the Sabbaths. We read the Bible. We go through and we read sections of it. We contemplate it. We talk about it. We fellowship. We pray for people all on Zoom. Maybe eventually we'll get that into a physical location, Lord willing. But, you know, I just wanted to invite you to that. If you're interested in a weekly Bible study, we have that. It'll be in the description link, wherever this will be, a way to find it if you really want to find it. And we do every Saturday night deliverance at 8 p.m. Central on Zoom. And soon we'll be live streaming that somewhere, I believe. I don't know. We're still tossing that idea around, but we would like to invite you to that because we do a teaching and then we do a mass deliverance. And, you know, the one the other day for rejection was real strong. Multiple people messaged me and said, hey, that was really good. That was one of the best teachings on rejection I've ever seen. And I said, well, praise the Lord, you know, but tune in. We're going to keep coming through this. If you want to be on the podcast, if you want to be on this show, please reach out. We'd like to schedule you. Reach out to Brother Rand or me. We're not hard to find. Like I said, I'm going to put the email in the description of this podcast. And Brother Randy, I think this was fantastic.
Hallelujah. It's been a blessing. Thank you, yep. Lord. Thank you, Father.
Do you want to pray us out of here? I think ending with a prayer is good.
Yeah, hallelujah. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Well, I just want to thank you for saying yes to us.
Amen.
Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for the grace to put it in our hearts to ask you to save us. All who call on the name of Yah, the Lord, are saved. And so thank you, Lord, for pulling us out of the miry clay, setting our feet on solid ground, filling us with your Spirit, and for being our ever-present help in time of need. We love you and we honor you. We thank you for being our strong tower that you've made us righteous. The righteous can run into and be saved. So thank you for that, for all that'll hear, all that these podcast will benefit. We give you glory and honor and praise, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lamb of God. We confess our sin, all of our bloodline sins, everybody's sin who's listening to this, thanking you, Lord, that we can come to you and be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God. And we thank you, Father, that the enemy be bound, let Yah arise, the enemy be scattered. Get yourself glory and honor, Lord. We give you the praise. In Yeshua, Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.